This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Winning isn't everything. He wouldn't know. He's never lost. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
No, teeny beans, blue jeans, blast from the past, golden nugget, because you dug it solid gold to make you feel old. Teeny bop music. Haven't heard that one for a long time. Maybe thankfully, but 1 minute past the hour. It's the 19th of January, 2017. Last day with Obama as president. Oh, my God. What a mess. It starts tomorrow. Oh, well. I'm Bob McCown. That's John Shannon right there.
Hello, Robert.
Here are the guests that are scheduled to be on this hour.
Are you a little worried? You're sounding worried.
Well, here's what I know. Jalen Rose just stiffed us. Yesterday, Doug Smith stiffed us. Although he did call, I think, and say, I can't come on, right? Because he had to go to the news conference. All right, so we sort of forgive him for yesterday, but he didn't come on.
That's not like Jalen. There isn't a microphone that Jalen doesn't like.
Well, some PR flack at ESPN or something. At least that's what they're trying to tell me. They may just be shifting the blame.
Was he selling something? Or
no, not that we know of. Don Banks will join us this hour as well, down to the Final Four. Oh, it's exciting. It's my favorite football weekend. I'm not a big Super Bowl guy.
It's not unlike...
But I love the final... I like the last weekend.
It's not unlike most big events. You know, the semifinals of the NCAA basketball tournament, Saturday semis, are as good as it gets.
I don't disagree with you.
Over the holidays, the two semifinals of the... Of the World Junior Hockey Championship.
Maybe, yeah.
It was like that. It's almost
It might be the teams, though, this year. Maybe I'm more focused on the teams. Because I think Green Bay, Atlanta, and I have no horse in the race, and I watch very little NFC football. As people know who listen to this program, I'm a Browns fan. I know. And when they never get to the playoffs anyway. So by the time the playoffs come around, I'm out of football.
Playoffs?
I'm getting ready for baseball season.
That's right.
But I'm so impressed by these two teams, by what Green Bay has done and the run that they're on, and the way Atlanta has played.
I think Atlanta is the best untold story of the NFL season. Don't
really?
You? I do. I think they're the best untold story. I don't think they've received any attention.
Disagree.
I don't think they've received any attention this year. And Matt Ryan could win the MVP.
All right. Hold that conversation. We'll talk more about it with Don Banks.
Okay.
Oh, we're trying to transfer him now? Apparently, Jalen Rose has called in.
There you go. Jalen, you know, when Jalen was with the Raptors and we ran that little TV station down the street, every once in a while, Jalen would just walk in and sit and talk. Yeah, he and Matt Bonner.
Bonner loved coming over and
sitting in the studio or sitting in the control room and watching the guys edit. It's a good learning curve for Jalen, who has become an absolute star in radio and television. He's got his own radio show.
Suck up to him now.
He's not listening.
Well, we got him. We don't have him. We do. We may. We might. Jalen Rose, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, Jalen. Bob McCowan, how are you?
Really good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. We thought you were going to be on last hour, and I guess the wires got crossed or something. So we gotta kind of talk.
I was in a meeting that ran long.
Oh, one of those, huh? Don't you love television?
TV suits. Yeah. TV suits always have those meetings.
Yeah, ain't that true? What's your focus? As we hit the midway point of this season? There are plenty of stories out there, but in many ways, for most people, seems like the same old story. Cleveland in the East, Golden State in the West. Are there any other things that kind of grab your attention?
Absolutely. They also have the first time, they also have the opportunity to be the first trilogy in the NBA Finals that we've seen, which is going to be awesome theater if we get there. You would have thought that that happened by now, particularly with the Lakers or Celtics' great dynasties, and it hasn't taken place. So, of course, that's the ultimate intrigue because the Cleveland Cavaliers are head and shoulders the best team in their conference when healthy, and the Golden State Warriors, while not head and shoulders, have clearly, to me, established themselves as the favorite. Other storylines that have jumped out at me when I have the remote control in my hand watching league pass is watching history being made by Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double, having an opportunity to be the first player since the Big O to do such, and James Harden, the type of numbers that he's also putting up, with the opportunity to be the first guy since Tiny Archibald to lead the league in points and assist the same season. They're having a terrific season, so you must mention them. Kawhi Leonard, who's scored 30-plus points more than any player in the league so far this year.
That's right.
Still finds ways to get overlooked or fly under the radar. And those probably are the main ones, just watching those guys perform so early in the season. And Isaiah Thomas in the East, the fourth quarter barrages that he's put on and really elevated himself as not only a legitimate all-star, but one of the top players in the league.
Actually, before you mention Isaiah, my biggest concern, the way you were talking, you other than mentioning the Cavs off the top, all you were talking was the Western Conference. And that to me, the imbalance and the power of the West versus the East is, in my mind, really one of the big stories in this league.
That is.
Yes, it's something that fluctuates seemingly based on the great players in either conference. But here's something that's truly going to support what you just said. Since 1999, that's when Duncan started winning championships right after the Jordan era.
Mm-hmm.
There are only a handful of teams that have won the West in that period, and they all had Hall of Famers leading the way. How about the Lakers seven times, in particular with Shaq and Kobe, then Kobe later on in the decade. The San Antonio Spurs with five championships. The Golden State Warriors won the West twice. The Golden State Warriors won the West twice. They have one championship. The Mavs won it twice with Dirk. They have one championship. And then you have Oklahoma City, who had their big three at the time with Harden, Westbrook, and KD, won the Western Conference once. That's it in that entire period of time. Now, if you flip to the West, if you flip to the East, while LeBron James seemingly has a rite of passage to make it to the finals, it's been a revolving door. During that period, you've seen teams like the Sixers, the Pacers, the Nets won the West East a couple of times in that period. So it's clearly fluctuated other than the fact that LeBron James seems to be there every year.
It might be too easy, Jalen, for me to say to you who will be the MVP if you had to vote today, because it might well be Westbrook, and maybe it's hard to pick somebody else. I don't know. You may not agree with that. But is that the track we're on right now? Is it difficult to pick anybody other than Westbrook? Or more? Maybe, let me ask you this way. If Oak City goes out in the first round of the playoffs, can Westbrook still be the MVP?
He can be the MVP because it's a regular season award.
I get it.
But if people were voting today, I think Russell Westbrook would win. But as the season progresses, and remember I said this, don't be surprised if James Harden ultimately wins the award.
Well, he's the number two. If Westbrook's number one, I think everybody would agree Harden is number two based on individual performance. And I wonder...
And here's why.
Okay, go ahead.
And here's why. The record for the Houston Rockets probably is going to be better than OKC.
I agree.
And also, he's going to be more efficient. Field goal shooting, three-point shooting. On this pace, they both will be first and second in the league in turnovers. But when you have your usage as high as both of those guys will, it's going to be expected. But I think those attributes for Harden may actually win out, especially as the year progresses, especially if Westbrook continues to be less efficient with his field goal percentage from the floor and from three.
If Durant doesn't go, if Durant stays in Oak City, is Westbrook this player?
I think so. The shift didn't happen with Russell Westbrook. It happened with fans and media. I remember covering their NBA Finals run, and Russell Westbrook was basically vilified by the media based on his style of play. I felt like I was the guy's agent. It was, he needs to play his role and be more of a Robin. Why is this guy taking shots and opportunities away from Kevin Durant? And all Kevin Durant did under that scenario with Russell Westbrook, by the way, is become a league MVP and a four-time scoring champ. So Russell clearly was not holding down his progression. The change started to happen when KD got injured.
Right.
And now Russell showed everyone that he could carry a team. He was getting triple-doubles. He won All-Star Game MVP. His numbers were terrific, and he also, in his own right, became an All-NBA performer. So I'm pretty sure, not only in their own locker room, but in the minds of fans and of media, whose team is it became the bigger conversation, more so than can they win it together. And even though they were up 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors, and I would have loved to see them maintain not only their working relationship as teammates and their friendship, it's always unique in the sport of basketball that when you lose, a lot of times the best player plays a major factor in that. So I can only imagine shedding tears with your teammates, talking about we're going to be there next year. Those guys ain't all that. We should have had them. To, wow, you're going to join them a month later and tell me via text at that? So based on the way that played out, that just wasn't a good look for KD, not only to Russell, but for public consumption. But his opportunity to go play as a free agent with the Golden State Warriors can't be understated because they did lose. Had they won and Draymond Green didn't get suspended, he clearly couldn't have joined a 73-win team. Oh, man, we would not have let him live that down. But since they lost, now he could go be the leading scorer on their team. And to the point where we're not talking about Steph Curry first when we mentioned the Warriors, and he was the only unanimous MVP in the league history last season.
Let's turn to the favorite team around here, one of your former teams, the Raptors, with DeRozan and Lowry being the linchpins to the team. Is this team deep enough right now, the way it's designed, to challenge for a championship?
Here's the reality. Whoever gets the chance to lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I say this respectfully, in the Eastern Conference Finals, they can celebrate and understand that they had a really good team. The Cavs are winning the Heat.
Right.
Now, the one thing that did happen for Toronto, that Dwayne Casey, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, who've been terrific this year, can appreciate a level of growth that clearly has established themselves as the second-best team in the conference, behind one squad led by LeBron James. Not Boston, not Atlanta, who won 60 games a couple of years ago. And so that dynamic, to me, has been ironed out. They do have the depth. You saw Corey Joseph come in when Lowry was out, scored 30-plus points in the game. Terrence Ross has shown flashes. Valanciunas, I always look at his rebounds and blocks because I think when he's active, he's just a better player. And obviously, their all-star backcourt is going to lead the way.
Do you think Sullinger makes an impact when he gets healthy again? I played for the first time last night this year for the team. His performance in Boston was, I think it's fair to say, sketchy. Some good moments, some not so good moments. Can he be an impactful player? I'm not talking about beating Cleveland. I'm just talking about, can he be a very useful player to this team?
I think so. Based on his body type, we've affectionately on Jalen and Jacoby's radio and television show called him a stretch mark four. He is a guy that when you see him and he starts to launch jumpers and three-pointers, you're like, no, get inside, big fella with that big body. Throw it around. Get some rebounds. Give me some hard fouls. And then all of a sudden he became a player that could actually make those shots in Boston.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, big fella, don't hesitate. We need your contribution. So players like he and Patterson, they're going to be critical to playing quality minutes up front. So, yes, I do think he can have a positive impact as a rotation player if and when used in the right situations.
JR, we thank you very much for your time today. We understand the difficulties you went through earlier, and we'll chat with you somewhere down the road. Thank you, Jalen.
Look forward to it. I appreciate the love. Thanks a lot.
Jalen Rose, ESPN basketball analyst.
Number five.
13-year NBA veteran.
Number five.
One of the freshmen from the University of Michigan. Ugh.
Well, in fact, Jalen...
I need to wash out my mouth after just saying
Jalen's that. Jalen's production company was the one that produced the documentary.
Which documentary? Oh, the
30 of 30.
The Final Five one.
The Final
Five.
Or
the fabulous... What?
Fab Five.
Fab Five.
Yeah.
Fab
Five. Yeah,
that's what
but it was his company did it, and there was a time, of course, Jalen and Chris Webber did not speak, and it was a big factor in the development of all their careers. Now both of them are on television doing a pretty good job.
You can't shut them up now.
Well, except that, you know, at 4:40 when they were supposed to be.
Yeah, well, it's okay. He was in a meeting.
Yeah, it's a good excuse.
I don't blame Jalen. I blame ESPN.
Oh, absolutely. They love to meet.
They don't care.
They're meeting.
They don't care if I have a commitment to do a show. Well, we don't care. We have to have a meeting.
At ESPN, if you miss the meeting, you know, they may change your contract. The way things are going there.
Yeah. Could happen here, too.
Really?
I don't know, maybe. Doug Smith with us now? We have the thumbs up. Testing 1, 2, 3. Hello, Doug.
Hey, what's going on, kids?
I would have said Jalen would have said hello, Smitty, but he didn't.
He did not.
Jalen's the greatest, man. He's the best.
He did not say hello.
Did you know when he played here that this was going to be his calling?
Yeah, absolutely. I knew he'd be in the media for sure.
Yeah.
He had a presence about him and a way with the gift of gab, drivers say.
Yeah, I mean, I do recall some, and you would be far more familiar with this than I, Smitty, but I can even recall in press conferences he demonstrated a use of the language and an analytical ability even when he was still playing. When you talk to him, it was very different than when you talk to, you know, the guy in the locker next door, whoever that was.
Yep, no, he got it. He was very lucid. He made good, concise points. Yeah, he was destined to do it. And he's a smart kid. I'm very proud to know Jalen because he runs the Jalen Rose Learning Academy. It's a charter school in the Detroit area where kids go to school on scholarships and from underprivileged neighborhoods and graduate and go on to college. He's put a lot of his own money into that school. I give him all the credit in the world for fostering youth education in his hometown. Yeah, absolutely. Jalen's a really, really good guy.
So we got chatting a bit about Jared Sullinger. We've only seen him for a few minutes now this year. So for many Raptor fans, it's probably their first look at him because even if they saw him play for Boston, they probably didn't pay any attention to him. And I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to him during his career there. But I do remember him in his last year at Ohio State. And I thought he had a chance to be an impactful player in the NBA because he was big and he's reasonably athletic, et cetera, et cetera. What did you see last night that you liked?
He just knows how to play. He knows how to carve out space. They don't play small when he's in there. They play wide because he's a big guy.
Yes, he is.
He's able to carve out space under the basket And if he gets a guy on his butt on a low post, he's going to score because he's that kind of bulk and quickness and speed. I think he's going to help. I really do. I don't think he's an all-star, and I think he probably shoots threes too much for a guy who doesn't really shoot them well. But I think for basketball IQ, rebounding, and being able to move bodies around in the paint, he's pretty much what they haven't had in a long time.
So do you think Casey can get him to focus on what he does well and not do what he doesn't do as well? Because I think that's the future of his career.
I think Casey can, and I know that his teammates can. Because he likes being around these guys, and they know what they need from him. And he's getting a little bit of license because he's a four-year vet, and he does the dirty work, and they might give him a little bit of leeway. But if he starts to get out of his lane, as they say, mm-hmm. I think they'll correct him.
Doug, is there somebody in the league that he right now in the NBA that you say, boy, he's like so-and-so? I mean, is there a body like, I'm just throwing out name, Andrew Hammond. Is there somebody like that he plays like that people will say, wow, that's a real improvement for this club?
I'm kind of, you know what, there really isn't because he's sort of an old-school, undersized, wide-butted four, and there aren't a lot of those anymore. But he's got a little Millsap in it, but he doesn't shoot the ball as well. I think he learned a lot from watching a guy like Al Horford play. He just knows how to move around the basket and create space. And it's not overly athletic. It's not overly pretty. But we sat last night right underneath the basket where the Raptors were shooting in the first half. And just to see him move guys away, move guys around by getting in good position, sealing them off, carving out space with his elbows and his hips, that's something that they don't have. And they need, because you need that physical presence to let other guys like Valanciunas, who's less physical than he is, go get the rebounds.
Well, we haven't seen the best of him, but that is for sure.
Oh no, not at all. No.
I mean, he's got to get in basketball shape. He was out of blow in the second half,
I couldn't believe they put him back in. I think it was unfair to him.
Yeah, he needs to get in shape, but I don't think the injury is going to be a long term problem. At least we hope it's not going to be. It's not. It doesn't seem to be a lingering kind of thing. It's just getting in basketball shape.
Yeah, I think they put a screw in his foot. His foot's better, and he's got to get physically in condition to play 30 minutes or 28 minutes a night.
So we got into a conversation the other day about concussions, and I was talking about a telephone call I had, and a prospective NFL owner was saying, wondering what I thought of the future of concussions in the NFL and the future of football, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, immediately you say, well, you know, there's a concussion, high concussion risk in football. There's a high concussion risk in hockey. Basketball and baseball don't really have high risk situations, and there are not one but two Toronto Raptors who got their doors rung in the last few games. What is the status of Nogueira and Carroll?
Well, Nogueira has to go through he's in the concussion protocol because he lost consciousness. They think he had the symptoms of blurred vision and a little bit of lack of concentration, and he didn't pass the test. So he has to be clear for 24 hours. They would have tested him yesterday afternoon and not allowed him to play last night. Then they would have to test him again today, 24 hours later, and then clear him to play tomorrow night. And I don't know if he's had that test or will have it yet. Carroll didn't have to go into it because he didn't exhibit any of the symptoms of concussion. He got his neck hurt, and it was a stinger more than anything. It wasn't, it wasn't a consciousness kind of thing. So he didn't have to get. He didn't display any of the symptoms of concussion that would put him in the NBA's concussion protocol. I'm sure he's got a very sore neck today.
Yeah,
they have a day off after the back to back, so we don't have any report on him. I would be surprised if he played tomorrow because his neck snapped. Like he got wrung, and I think it's a pain thing and that kind of issue more than an unconscious issue.
Has he been as effective as you thought he would be this year, Doug?
The last 5 weeks has been really good, and I think he got back to full health. I think they managed his time pretty well so that he was free and easy on his knee. So they held him on a back-to-backs for the first, I guess, all of November, December, mm-hmm. and a little bit of January, I guess, before he played his first games on consecutive nights. They watched his minutes, and I think they had a very good plan to get him ready to be 100% in March and April. And they seem to be on that track because he was very, very effective in the last 10 games, I guess.
It is the Charlotte whatchamacallits, Hornets, Bobcats,
Hornets,
Rocket, whatever they're called.
Hornets.
Now. Okay. Tomorrow night. Is this team surprising to you, and why are they not among the worst teams in the NBA?
Charlotte, I'm surprised they're as bad as they are. They won 48 games last year.
Really?
Yeah, and they're 21-21 halfway through this year. You know, they've been hurt, and they got some guys banged up, but they've been, I think, one of the more disappointing teams in the Eastern Conference so far, because they're, you know, they lost six in a row, I think, before they won last night. They got pieces, but Kemba Walker's sort of plateaued, I presume. I think that's probably the best word. And Nick Batum is sort of off and on. They've been hurt a little bit. You know, I think they got a chance to make a little bit of noise, but right now they're closer to ninth place than they are fifth.
Who did Charlotte lose to in the playoffs last year?
I think Miami, but I'm not entirely sure.
I have no recollection of Charlotte even being there in the postseason last year. I'm not denying it. I didn't have that recollection.
Yeah, they've been like playoff two of the last 3 years. Steve Clifford's a good coach. They got Kemba Walker had an all-star year last year.
No, that I know.
But they haven't taken that next step. They've sort of regressed this year, which teams do when you're building. That blip year comes, and they're going through it now. But, you know, maybe they get it together in the second half. But right now they're decidedly in that 6-10 or 5-10 range in the East.
And when you talk about the East that way, Atlanta, who had such a great start and then leveled off, they seem to be a little bit better again.
Yeah, they sort of calmed down. You know, the Korver trade was, I think, a bit of upheaval. But, you know, now that they've allegedly taken Millsap off the market, there was a report this week that they talked about moving Dwight Howard in some kind of money-saving deal. But they seem to have calmed. And I think you're seeing in the East of four teams, Cleveland, Toronto, Boston, and Atlanta, kind of separating themselves, although Washington is right there with the Hawks. But I think Atlanta has, they were 11-2 and then lost 11 of 13.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were very up and down. And now they seem to have, calmed themselves. And I think they'll be, right in that, again, in that mix, 4-7 in the East.
The Philadelphia 76ers, the victors last night, although I would... I think I agree with others that it was more the Raptors losing the game than the Sixers winning it. But with due respect, the Sixers are better, and they do have a future that you can now see. I wonder, did you see Colangelo? Did you talk to him?
I didn't talk to him last night. He's back home. I think he has some family stuff to do.
He's here.
He's going to be here for the D-League showcase tomorrow. Mississauga. I did talk to Mark Eversley, his number one guy, this afternoon. Yeah, they got, MB's going to be a stud. They keep him healthy. He's going to be an all-star. No question about it. They desperately need a point guard. T.J. McConnell is good, but he's a backup at best and probably a third.
Yeah.
So maybe Ben Simmons is that guy. I think they're going to definitely find a way to move Noel or Okafor for another piece. You know, they probably got three good pieces in Simmons, Embiid. Dario Saric looked really good last night. And, you can see some promise there. They're certainly not a playoff team this year. They might be one next year, but they got bits in there. And Embiid is going to be really, really good if they keep him healthy.
My favorite part of last night's game, the Philly uniforms with the Philly on the front. I mean, I remember that as a kid. When I was a kid and didn't know anything about basketball, those are the uniforms that, similar uniforms with Philly on the front that the 76ers used to wear.
Yeah, it was funny being in that arena last night because for the first time in probably 9 years, there was some energy in a building. There was some juice. The place was sold out. The fans were into it.
Interesting.
It was really fun to see because it's a great venue if the team's good. And they've been bad for so long. It was shocking to me, pleasantly shocking to see the people there having fun, watching a team that's won 7 of 9 now.
Yeah, and they won a game, too, so people are happy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. They played okay. I do agree with Kyle Lowry's assessment that the Raptors lost the game.
I do, too.
Philadelphia won it.
I do, too.
But, at the end of the night, they had more points, so they win. So it's happy.
That's how it works.
Yeah, and you know what? Philly basketball, I mean, it's a culture. There is a real culture of basketball in Philadelphia. All the way high school and college, it is remarkable. But they know their basketball, and if the Sixers don't win, nobody's showing up.
Yeah, and they let you know that they know what they're watching. They, you can't fool them. you can't fool them with promise. And I think they see now some sort of brighter future with Embiid. Simmons is going to play probably just after the All-Star break, I'm told. So, you know, they got bits, and the East is getting a little bit old, and who knows where they are this time next year.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing about Simmons is we still don't know what he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say he's really good. Mark Eversley told me that last night. He's got a lot of skill, but you still got to see him do it in an NBA game.
Yeah, we don't know. Smitty, behave yourself. We'll see you soon.
Always. Okay, guys, take care.
Doug Smith of the Toronto Star will take the break.
What? By the way, you know, you were talking about Fila on the jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
It was predated the Sixers. The Warriors wore those too.
That's probably who I was thinking of, the Philadelphia Warriors.
When Wilt played there.
That's right. That's probably what I was thinking
of. So like 63, 64, 65?
Yeah, I know is that I was a kid and didn't know much about basketball and was just starting to get into it and learn about it. And I remember, and it probably was pictures in a newspaper or in a magazine or something.
Sporting News, baby.
Yeah, and the Fila on the uniforms.
Yeah, that was the Warriors.
Thought, that's kind of interesting. Why would they do that? Why Fila?
Because they ran out of Delphias.
They did.
Yeah.
When we come back, Don Banks, and we're down to four. We'll talk about it when primetime continues in a moment.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan.
Let's go.
Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Well, I'm interested in both games in the NFL playoffs this weekend. Green Bay Atlanta is just like a classic for me. I mean, I like the Falcons in the game, just as a point of reference. But I so respect what Green Bay has done and the way they've played. And they're a really, really interesting football team to watch. The other game... it's just the New England thing. I'm not a New England fan. I've never been a New England fan. I respect Brady. He might be the best quarterback that's ever played the game. There's almost no doubt in my mind that you're going to have to go a long way to find a better coach than Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
But he's such a dink. It's hard to really, you know, have an amorous relationship with him.
But
I don't think Pittsburgh. Can give him a game.
The Steelers.
I don't think so.
The Steelers are kind of at times like a bad rash, huh?
I know. I know. I don't think
they just don't go away.
I don't think. There's the poster.
I know.
He's walking the poster, but it's gonna fall out of the frame if you keep doing that.
He went the other. He's back.
Look at that. Look at that nonsense that's going on.
Well, I'm glad we found him a job.
That's the president of Sportsnet is doing this stupid stuff.
He's got a job, finally.
Oh, my God.
He
10 posters out there, there's only one that hasn't been changed five times in the last five years. That's mine.
It's the continuity. I know. You're the only one that never changes. You're always here.
They don't like me. They don't want to pay attention to me.
That's beside the point.
Sometimes I get annoyed, John.
And as I told you during the break, Bob, at least you have a poster.
Well, you know.
One day.
Sometimes
we can dream.
Career choices.
career choices.
Maybe the wrong one. Maybe more than once.
Most work I've done in a year.
Don't do that again.
Oh.
Get a real job now.
We're cutting into our NFL time.
Here's our friend Don Banks. See, I was trying to do a segue to the NFL and all kinds of hell broke loose here. I apologize, Banks. But here's where I was at, and I don't even know if you heard it or if you did, whether you remember it. It's been so long. I don't think Pittsburgh can beat New England. I don't think there's anything they can do to beat New England. I respect Roethlisberger as an above-average quarterback, but I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I love their running back and the way he plays, but I don't think that's going to be enough of a factor. The other game, on the other hand, could be classic. Your thoughts?
I agree with you on the NFC game. I think that is going to be the better of the two games by far. It could be 42-41 by the time we're done.
Yep.
And I went with Atlanta as well, but I could be so easily convinced that you should not bet against Aaron Rodgers right now. And the groove he's in, people have argued that it's the best 2 months of football in NFL history for a quarterback. Maybe.
Well, maybe.
In the conversation. I think right now he can put the football wherever he wants it, whenever he wants it, and that is kind of a sight to behold.
And he's done it with a wide receiving core that, you know, is not truly all pro.
Well, and it's not even healthy. I mean, obviously, Jordy Nelson hasn't been there for most of the last two games.
Right. Any chance this weekend?
I think it's slim. He hasn't really done anything so far on the practice field, not been in pads. I think it's an extreme long shot. You know, they've been winning with Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison, guys that you don't even know for most of the regular season step up in Green Bay come playoff time, seemingly, and catch passes from Aaron Rodgers. But I think that game is going to come down to whether Atlanta can get those two good running backs they have, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, into great matchups, let's say against Green Bay linebackers.
Out of the backfield.
Use them out of the backfield. They have won games this year where they just turn those two guys into basically long handoff, short receiving options and tear up teams. I think that's, to me, the biggest X factor in this game, whether Atlanta's going to be able to use those guys to their fullest. If they can, I think they've got too many ways to beat Green Bay.
We all know that Rodgers is acknowledged as a very good, maybe in some people's eyes, great quarterback. Is this a game that Ryan can take a step in that direction? Or am I taking too much, going too far here?
No, I think this is definitely that type of game for Matt Ryan. He was in this game in 2012. Mike Smith was the coach.
Right.
They had the Niners beat. They lost that game at home. The thought was that was, you know, going to open the window for a Matt Ryan elite quarterback Super Bowl era type of opportunity. It didn't happen. And then the Falcons lost their way. I think he's the MVP of the league this year. I voted for him in the Associated Press balloting. I think he's been the most consistent, productive quarterback in the league. And I think this is a signature game, a legacy game, whatever you want to call it. But look at the other three quarterbacks in the postseason. And then Matt Ryan is the one who opportunity knocks for him to join the club.
Well, and I know this is a hard one for me because I fight this battle all the time. I do not believe that winning championships is a criteria that needs to be achieved in order to be considered a great quarterback. I think Marino was one of the five best quarterbacks I've ever seen, and he didn't win a championship. He only got to one, and that was in his first year. I don't think it's important. I think you need 42 guys or 50 guys to win a championship. It's football. It ain't, you know, this ain't tennis. You know, you can't do it all yourself. You got to have a whole bunch of guys around you, and a whole bunch of them have to be real good. So the circumstances under which any player performs in a sport with 35 guys who play every game, you got to have help. So I don't hold that carrot out there that if you don't win a championship, you can't be considered one of the greatest. But does he have to win a championship in order to get that recognition?
Unfortunately, I think it's part of the equation. I think you have to at least play for a championship. I think Marino's greatness was that he had teams in the playoffs year after year after year around him that he was at least knocking on the door. I agree with you to a large extent. I think that the reality is people have built that into the recipe in these type of discussions and are unwilling. And it's because it's easy that way. It's kind of lazy that way. You can you know, count up the rings and then assign greatness. I do believe, though, it's hard to be a truly great quarterback and have a terrible team around you and never play really meaningful football late in the year. It's hard, the way we judge athletes, for that anomaly to come along and people say, wow, Archie Manning was really great. I know he only won 35% of his games. That type of thing just doesn't seem to happen the way we judge things.
But the Falcons and Ryan, to me, whether it's the division they played in, I mean, I don't even think anybody paid attention to them until last week.
Yeah.
Really?
I think there's some truth to that.
I don't disagree with that. I thought they were the most, probably the most overlooked successful team in the league this season. Dallas sucked all the oxygen out of the conversation in the NFC.
Yep.
But Green Bay's comeback has also mesmerized us, winning 8 in a row, getting back in the way they did at 4-6. Now here they are in the NFC title game. So I think the Falcons have slipped off the radar screen to a large degree this year, but that offense has really not been stopped all year. There's no one that's really shut them down. They led the league, scoring almost 34 points a game. I'm interested to see if Green Bay can get a lead and take the crowd out of the game, how much resiliency that offense is going to have for Atlanta, because I think they need to play with a lot of enthusiasm in the building. They need to get a lead and then keep their foot on the gas. And they did that this year better than they ever have.
Forgive me if I've mentioned this before, because I have a disease, I think, or I'm old. But they remind me so much of Arizona from a couple of years ago. A team that scored a lot of points, very exciting to watch, and nobody paid any attention until they got to the playoffs. And even then they went, holy cow, where have these guys been all year?
I think that's fair. Both teams in the past have not had enough pass rush. That's another thing that they have in common as well. To me, Atlanta offensively has had even more ways to beat you and attack you than Arizona did 2 years ago last year when Carson Palmer was playing really lights-out football and they made the NFC title game. I think this Falcons team is the best Atlanta team we've ever seen, and I think the defense late in the year started to find kind of its identity a little bit. And they have this player, Vic Beasley, who's really, I think he led the league in sacks over the last month or so, and he really came on. That's the element that Dan Quinn, their second-year head coach, was looking for when he got to Atlanta to build a pass rush to go with that offense.
We got 1 minute. I think you haven't said much about Pittsburgh, New England, but I'm guessing you think this is not a sure thing, but you like your kind of hometown team, don't you?
Yeah, I'm picking the Patriots. I don't think it's a sure thing. Neither team played well last week. They both came out of divisional round saying that won't get it done next week, and they're right about that. 6 field goals won't get it done for Pittsburgh, and the sloppy, mistake-prone play that we saw out of New England, which is incredibly rare, won't get it done. I think New England finds a way to play better this week, but I think that Steelers defense is legit, and I think a pass rush against Brady is the key to the game. If they get it, they could win.
Enjoy. Where are you going? Are you going up to Foxborough?
Yeah, I'll be at the Foxborough AFC game.
Well, okay.
No per diem there.
No. Yeah. No road trip. Got to drive there, drive home.
Go to the mall.
How pedestrian. Have fun. Have fun, Banks. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, pal. Don Banks.
Tell you what, with all the controversy swirling around Antonio Brown, I fully suspect he is going to be a giant in the AFC Championship.
Well, have a big game?
Yes. I call me stupid, not the first time. I think the Steelers are going to win. I think the Steelers are going to beat the New England Patriots. John, I really do.
John, because I'm such an accommodating guy.
Go ahead.
Stupid.
You got this on tape. We're going to play it back on Coach's Corner. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win the AFC Championship game.
Well, I don't. and you will be wrong once again. And you'll be cowering behind the door.
I don't. Have I ever done
you
that?
You and Scott Moore cowering behind the
door. I don't carry posters, Bob.
Glenn Healy, Ken Daniels, Norm O'Reilly. Coming up on Primetime.